Welcome back to the Alternate Shot Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Matt.
Matt is calling in, or FaceTiming in rather, for the pod today because you were at the Super Bowl, right, Matt?
I was. Quite a game. This is weird being on being on FaceTime to record. It's less personal, but I think it'll still work.
It'll work.
I feel okay about it. Yeah, that's why we're on FaceTime, so I can look at you and draw my energy.
So we had the Super Bowl, of course, but we did have a golf tournament this week, the Waste Management, which, you know, I have to say, competing with the Super Bowl is always hard to do, but this year set some records in attendance and in viewership, which is, it's not surprising. It's turned into a pretty awesome event. We had an interesting finish with some guys that, you know, neither of us thought were contenders this week, but it was a good event, some good golf. We'll break it all down. But what else we got on the agenda today, Matt?
Yeah, we're gonna stick to the fundamentals today. I think we'll talk about the Super Bowl for a couple minutes because why not? We got some prop bets to give grades on. We'll recap the Waste Management, as you said, very good event. We went to the playoff again. Then we're gonna preview the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, huge event, huge field. Should be a full pod.
Awesome. Let's get into it. So first things first, Matt. How was the Super Bowl?
It was awesome. It's you get the biggest America boner at the Super Bowl when there's this huge flag unfurled and it's football and it's two great cities and I had good experience with the Philly folks who were sitting around me, pretty friendly banter. I got no beef with them the way they play. Their fans were cool. They got a good team and super exciting game. It was, you know, obviously not the outcome we wanted. And what are you gonna do? But I'll tell you what, I don't go to a lot of, like, I haven't gone to a lot of Patriots games, and when I do watch, I'm not like yelling at the TV or anything, but I definitely get into it. I felt like involved in the game yesterday, like trying to make noise on third down and stuff. it was so cool. Like, you know, tough outcome for the Pats, but what an unreal experience. As Ferris Bueller said, if you have the means, I highly suggest picking one up. At some point, everyone should go. It was so freaking cool, man.
Yeah, I mean certainly it was a hell of a game. But yeah, I always wondered about the Super Bowl because you're right. Like the viewing experience is so different. But then also, like, I thought it was interesting. Like during the halftime show, right? He's like, "What's up, Minneapolis?" And I'm like, "There's nobody from Minneapolis in those stands. Like, it's Philadelphia and New England, right?" So,
there were a handful of Minnesota people. There were people behind us who were Vikings fans and felt so aggrieved by like their loss to the Eagles a couple weeks ago that they like had Pat's jerseys on and were like loudly rooting for the Patriots. And the Eagle kid that I was with was like, "Oh man, like I like your Cooks jersey. Like, were they sold out of the Adam Thielen Patriots jersey?" So yeah, but you're right. We were definitely outnumbered. I mean, probably like 60-40 in there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was cool to look around and just like, you just know like celebrities everywhere, and you're at this event that, you know, the world is watching this event. Right. I didn't see much of Justin Timberlake. I was like getting food and you know, reloading on beers and stuff. But Hurdy did well. Paid homage to Prince, who we all love. Prince. Yeah. This is the land of Prince. So yeah, it was something.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say one more thing. I made a note to look out for Tom Lehman. Obviously, did not
friend
see
of the pod
him.
Tom Lehman.
Well, so Tom Lehman, every man over the age of 45 in Minnesota like looks like Tom Lehman. Like, they're all the same. This is I don't know. Everyone here kind of looks the same. Everyone's here super friendly and I was just looking around, like, not in earnest looking for Tom Lehman, but like, you know, like, oh, I wonder if he's here. Didn't see him, but everyone looks like him.
Oh man, that's a good thing. I think it's definitely a good thing. But yeah, it's funny. Like the Midwest is an interesting place in that I don't think it gets a lot of attention. It was funny. People were talking about the Super Bowl. Like, you know, would never have gone there, right, unless they had built this beautiful billion-dollar stadium. But, man, every time I've been out there, I've had a blast. So it must have been a fun night, despite the fact that the Pats went down. But
yeah, it was fun. Everyone was friendly about it. I was happy for the Eagle fans. You know, they're pretty long-suffering fan base, and I got no real beef with them. So
it sucks. It sucks, but you know, Philadelphia is certainly long deserving of this. I mentioned on the pod, my wife is a diehard Eagles fan, as is her entire family, and the bragging rights for the year is certainly deserved on their part.
Yeah.
But we did have some prop bets. So despite the Pats' loss, there were some things to keep it something to maybe root for. A couple of the Eagles here, but I wanted to walk through them.
Can we do before we do prop bets? I feel like we need to spend 1 minute on the one thing that lingers from this game for me. What the fuck did Malcolm Butler do?
I don't know, man.
I need an answer to this question.
So
I know it's the Patriot way to not divulge any of this, but like someone in the media, someone has to know. Like I need to know what Malcolm Butler did to get. I mean, basically, they would have made him inactive apparently, but they only have four cornerbacks on the roster at all. So like if, you know, Gilmore went and like broke his ankle or something, they were going to need Butler as like an injury replacement. But I guess, I don't know. I can't imagine what he did that was so egregious that you would just bench your
certainly,
best fucking player.
Certainly if he plays, it could be a difference maker, of course. You know, like.
Yeah, we don't give up 900 points.
Right. The defense dropped that game. I mean, I guess defensively both teams didn't play great, but. You got to wonder what Butler did. Who knows? I mean, we'll probably never know. The as was mentioned on the broadcast last night, like you'd have a better chance of getting some information out of like East Germany in the Cold War than you would, you know, the front office or you know, locker room of the Patriots. But for better or worse, I mean, that's their process. But yeah, it sucked because you know you're stuck wondering, you know, what if.
Well, I feel like maybe Butler needs to come out now that he's a free agent and say. I got benched because I screwed up.
Yeah.
Right. Not because I'm bad at football anymore and I'm going to own my screw. I don't know. I obviously trust like the Pats process and in Bill, we trust and blah, blah, blah. Like mm-hmm. I don't want to know. I literally need to know what Butler did. Like I have to know what he did to maybe cost us a Super Bowl.
I mean, look, you don't want to look back and say that was it, but Jesus, you know, certainly have to wonder.
Okay, prop bets. Sorry, prop I just bets. Had to get that off my chest.
So there were four prop bets crossing over into the golf world. The first one was which will be higher? Jordan Spieth, final round total birdies, Zach Ertz, total receptions. This is a little misleading, of course, because Jordan Spieth missed the cut, and there's no action if the player misses the cut, but Ertz had 7 total receptions. So that was you and me picked that. Dave picked Spieth. 2 points for the good guys, or 1 point for each of the good guys. Next one was which would be higher? Jordan Spieth, final round score. Jay Ajayi, rushing yards. Again, Spieth missed a cut. Ajayi only had 57 yards, so we were right in that he wasn't going to have a huge game. But I was wondering, maybe he had a little injury. I know he hurt his ankle, and maybe that's part of it. But, yeah.
Well, LeGarrette Blount had like a million yards.
Yeah,
and
he played. He was playing angry.
I mean, everyone had millions of yards. I didn't think they would be able to run the ball at all, and they did whatever they wanted to
do. Yeah, and that's why this next one's a little bit painful because it's which will be higher, Tom Brady passing yards or Phil Mickelson average driving distance. Now, Mickelson was pounding the ball. His average driving distance was 316.5 yards on Sunday. Tom Brady threw for 505 yards and lost the game. I think we both said that Brady's got to throw for over. I said over like 350. I think you said over 400 to win this game, sort of running away. Little shocking that Brady puts up 505 and we lose the game.
The Patriots had 618 yards yesterday and lost a football game.
Yeah.
And no punts. Yeah. The Brady performance, I don't know. I just had a sense that that's how the Patriots play. They, you know, dance with the one that brought you, right? So Brady was always going to air it out. And you could have, he would have won the prop of like average length of hole on course. or Brady, you know, Brady total yards passing.
So I forgot to mention the last one, the Ajayi Spieth bet. We all picked Spieth, so we all lose one there. For this one, the Brady versus Mickelson, we all picked Brady. And so we all won that one. Unfortunately, the Pats, you know, didn't take home the W, but we still got a win there. The final one was, which will be higher, Rob Gronkowski total receptions or Phil Mickelson's final round total birdies? Mickelson played well. He had 4 birdies on Sunday, but Gronk had 9 receptions. So less than, I think, you know, he certainly was sort of being put you know, under a ton of coverage, especially early in the game, but he broke it out there toward the end, 9 receptions. Matt, you picked Rob. I picked Phil along with Dave. So congratulations, Matt.
Well, thank you. You were looking good in the first half there.
thought I was.
In the second half, they figured it out, and Rob was uncoverable, as he tends to do in these games sometimes. He was such a force. He almost pulled in the Hail Mary. Ugh, he's so sick. If he retires,
he came so close in that last play.
If he retires, I'll cry.
Yeah. So another football season.
So did I win? Did I win that game?
You won. The
prop bet game?
You won.
Cool.
You won. Dave was DFL. I think I came in second. So, So, Pat's Super Bowl. Congratulations to the Eagles. Well-deserved victory. And it was a great game. I mean, honestly, it was a really, really fun game to watch. Both teams played hard and came down to the last play, which is, you know, I think what you want.
Yep. So. And we'll see you in Atlanta next year. We're not going anywhere.
So there was another sporting event that was going on, obviously, in our world. The Waste Management competes every year with the Super Bowl, and it's interesting to watch, and I'll bring it up a little later, about the viewership numbers and how they kind of drop off a cliff on Sunday. But this was the highest rated Waste Management Open ever. So what they're doing, whatever they're doing and tapping into with their, you know, different take on things, and Matt, you mentioned this last week about spicing things up, it's working for the Waste Management. I thought certainly the spectacle remained, but the golf was good too. Some guys I was surprised missed the cut. You know, we talked about Spieth a second ago, but the golf was good. Scores were low. Guys were bombing the ball in the desert, and it was a fun tournament to watch. Obviously, it's a distracting week. You were in Minneapolis. We were all getting ready to watch the Super Bowl. So, but it was fun. It was a good event.
Yeah, there was a good article on ESPN this week about, you know, could this transition to other events? And all the players were like, well, I don't think it would be cool anymore if all the events were like this, right? And, when you can come to expect that there's going to be a lot of sound, a lot of noise, a lot of cheering, like, you can mentally prepare for that. But it would just get probably kind of annoying if it was every single week, right? It was a rock concert. So, this was one of the cooler events. It's the perfect kind of lead-in to the Super Bowl if you're on the couch, or certainly if you're out in Arizona. And you know, it's a destination event now. We had a big field. I think 5 of the top 7 guys in the world were in the field, and it's a tournament that always seems to have, we didn't get it in the playoff this year, but you know, a pretty heavy top of the leaderboard. And we had it for a couple of days with Rahm and mm-hmm. Fowler and Phil in the mix. So yeah, no, what they do out there works, and they're just crushing attendance records. They, like, 600,000-700,000 this year,
yeah,
for the 4 days.
Yeah, just under 720,000.
They're gonna have like 1 million people 1 year. They're expanding the course. They're trying to because the congestion on 16 is so much that people like wait out all day and don't get in. They're building like other things on like the front 9. You know, get people over there. And
right.
Different vibe. It's like a beer garden sort of situation. But
you wouldn't think that, you know, an early February event, in the desert competing with the Super Bowl would be like this destination golf event. But I had a bunch of pals that have gone over the years, and in recent years it's like become sort of this trip that they all go on and embark on. They rent a house and they, you know, they get the tickets and they go, and it's this thing. And then you all end up watching the Super Bowl on Sunday. It's not a bad way to spend a weekend. They've turned this into a destination event. I think the players are responding too. You know, to your point, I agree. I think if it was every week, it'd be a little bit much. But damn, it's whoever came up with the idea of it or the concept really had some vision, because it's so different than anything else on tour, and it's certainly working.
Well, yeah, and it attracts young and old. It's kind of like the Preakness. I remember when I was in college, like going to the Preakness was like a thing. I never actually did it, but knew dozens of people who went down. So it was just this big party, but it also has, you know, horse racing fans, right? Who, right, you know, cherish the event, right? You know, the waste management, you have Arizona State and other schools nearby for, you know, young people to go. And obviously people just make the pilgrimage out anyway. But then you also have, you know, tons and tons of, you know, retirees down there who only get one or two PGA tournaments in their state all year, because once, you know, right, April hits, it's like inhospitable. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so you get all of them to go. So it's, I think this is the most attended event on the tour by some measure, and it's going to continue to grow. So I love it. It's an awesome event, and we got some good golf. We had kind of big names at the top of the leaderboard. Well, I'll start on Thursday. So Matsuyama withdrew. So his quest for a three-peat never came to be. I don't know the extent of this injury, how bad it is. Hopefully it's not too bad. I haven't read anything about it, but you know, that was too bad to see. Spieth, Finau, Russell Henley, Kyle Stanley, Webb Simpson, J.B. Holmes, and Smiley all got cut. Ricky and Bryson were tied for the lead after Friday. Shout out to our friends at Cobra Puma. I think we got to start talking about Bryson as like having a little bit of staying power. I think he's good. Like our fears are coming to be true.
I mean, he is. Look, I think if he had, well, think of it this way. If he was more humble, if he didn't come right out of the gate and say, I'm going to change the game of golf, I read The Golfing Machine, I have the answer, I think people would like him a lot more. He's had to like repair his image a little bit. I think he learned quickly that, you know, being humble is a better way to win people over as a young player on tour than being cocky. And I think, you know, you shut up and you let your play speak for itself. So yeah, a lot of the early challenges he had, I think people might have been, you know, serves you right and rooting against him. But there's no doubt the kick and ball and as unorthodox as his swing and single length golf clubs and approach to the game is, it's working for him. You know, the whole point of this golfing machine approach was to make his game much more repeatable and consistent. I think we're starting to see that pay off at the pro level. So it'll be interesting to see how he does this year, if he's maturing into a more consistent presence on the tour. I think it's good for the game. I think he's maturing as a player. You know, I think we all forget these are young kids coming out of college on tour, and all of a sudden they're being expected to act and behave with the poise of a veteran, and you know, sometimes it's going to take some time to get there. We see that in every sport. So yeah, it's cool to see. I didn't have much to complain with his round or his performance. I think we're going to see more out of the guy, a lot more.
Yeah, he's still a hardo, and yep, he's going to be in the hardos of the week when we do the field readouts. Other note from Friday, big day for the pod, patron saint of the pod, Dottie.
That's right. Patron saint of the pod, Dottie Pepper.
Hit us with a follow. Gave us some positive feedback comment on the pod. So yeah, so that was brick by brick, man.
Brick
that was
by
awesome.
Brick. Dottie, we love you.
I got this notification from Dottie, who, fellow Pats fan, by the way.
I saw that.
Dottie's in. Dottie's on board. I
love it.
Big day. I watched a little bit Saturday. Emphasis on a little, because once we got here, it was kind of all business. But Ricky and Rahm and Hall of Famer Phil Mickelson were all up at the top. Phil was, I think, two shots back. Ricky had the lead. You can tell me kind of how it looked on TV and how it went down on Sunday. But from what I can gather, Ricky kind of couldn't close it down. Yeah. He was over par. And this is the kind of unfortunate narrative around Ricky that he's deserving here, is, you know, sitting on a 54-hole lead, and then he goes and, you know, doesn't deliver, doesn't close it down. Phil in the mix played well, but, you know, couldn't keep up with some pretty outstanding performances by Ollie, by Ches Reavy, who's an ASU guy and was getting a lot of love from the crowd, and Gary Woodland. And Reavy birdied 18 to force a playoff. Woodland promptly won the playoff. We didn't have a 5, 6, 7 hole marathon, which is good because then people have to miss the Super Bowl when that happens. Maybe Reedy was just being a good sport and, you know, wanted to take a second and let everyone go watch the game. But Gary Woodland with the win. Gary Woodland's someone who, you know, known for being pretty long off the tees, like a top 10 guy, even though he's not like a huge physical specimen. He's not DJ, but he hits missiles. But he's not known so much for really winning big events. This is his third PGA Tour win, unequivocally the biggest of his career. You know, I don't know. This is one of those reminders of I think I've talked about. There's like superstars and there's pseudo stars, and then there's decent PGA professionals, right? You know, the 40th best player in the world can go out and win, right? And if he goes and shoots a 66 on a Sunday, goes and gets a W, you know, and laps Phil and Ricky, and good for him. Picked up $1.242 million for his trouble. Gets an invite to Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was good to see Gary Woodland play the way that he did. You know, he's won three times now on the PGA Tour. To your point, the events he's won are, you know, the Transitions Championship in 2011, the Reno Tahoe Open in 2013, and now the Waste Management in Phoenix. And I think we forget how good a lot of these guys are at that tier. They're four rounds in a row, right, away from striking distance. You know, let me put it this way. We talk about a guy like Ricky, and the question mark now with his, you know, blown 54-hole lead, is this part of his game? But we forget how consistently he's in those positions to begin with. You know, by any measure, Gary Woodland has had an incredible career so far. He's only 33 years old. He just won on the PGA Tour, right? Three wins in his career so far. But the delta between him and someone like Ricky Fowler is massive when you think about the amount of events that Ricky's putting himself in contention to win week in and week out. So I think on the one hand, we really should tip the cap to Gary Woodland for, you know, continuing the grind and staying in it. Because you never know when you're going to have your game break out and when you can win an event. On the other hand, with Ricky, I think it's a little unfair to criticize the guy for continuing to put himself in positions to win. If he fails on Sunday five times in his career so far, it's not all that bad. Although if you are a fan of Ricky, I think you got to wonder, you know, where is this Sunday killer instinct to put the tournament away? I think you wonder maybe how many more he could have won. When is that major coming? Is that something he's going to struggle with down the road? I don't know. I think it's certainly too early to tell with him. But it was weird to see him just kind of fall apart. Or not really fall apart, but just kind of lose his momentum and, you know, slip back into the, you know, the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I think the thing with him is that he, you know, so he went and shot like, you know, 11 under or whatever it was to win the Hero, right? You know, on Sunday. But typically the story with Rory's or Ricky's that he doesn't implode, but he also doesn't like do anything. He doesn't make a move, right? His, you know, the US Open, that final round, he just, you know, was like one over, like didn't do anything. You saw other guys going out and going 64, 65 or you know, whatever Kepka shot that day. Harmon shot that day. And this is just kind of becoming a thing with him. And you're right, maybe just because he's such a visible character and presence on the tour, then we're just noticing it more. But I don't know. There's also some truth to this. It's a fair criticism.
Well, if you think about it, so Ricky went on 18 on Sunday. He finished with three bogeys in the last four holes, right? And he finished at 12 under. Woodland, who wins it, finishes, three under in the last four holes. But, three under in the last four holes. So the delta there, that's the tournament, right? The way those two guys played those last four holes really impacted where the leaderboard ended up. I think you look at it on Sunday and you don't see those rounds and you're like, you know, Ricky Fowler, another top, well, he's tied for 11th, but basically top 10, right? What you don't see is that he pretty much had the tournament, at least, you know, not in hand, but certainly within striking distance, you know, with five holes to play. So that was a little bit hard to watch because, you know, the kids played great and he definitely has that in his game. You got to wonder if maybe there's something else going on.
Yeah, I think he needs to go and just keep winning and do more. I think that he's obviously one of the best players on the planet, but he needs to, you know, win a little bit more. And when he has a 54-hole lead, you know, not comparing like anyone at all to Tiger, but remember once upon a time, Tiger was, you know, he just won every tournament, or he won like 90% of the times he was leading after 54 holes. You know, I don't know. Like, Ricky's not picking up W's that he's putting himself in a position to get. You know, he plays really well for 3 days and not on the fourth day. That's a legitimate criticism. Gary Woodland, you think he's going to be able to make room on his shelf for the? He's going to move the Transitions Championship trophy over to the left side and put the Waste Management in the middle, or?
I think he might find room. You know, it's funny. Like, you got to joke, but dude, 3 wins on the PGA Tour is no joke. I mean, most guys never win. Most guys get on the tour and they drift around and they make a decent living and then they slip into, you know, oblivion. It's something that I think a lot of fans don't recognize, how often that those names are the same group of guys, right, that win these events. Every once in a while some guy will win and they'll forget, but you know, he's 33 winning golf tournaments on the tour. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, not a bad way to live either. All right, grades. I get an incomplete / A. So my
we need
DFL
to determine
pick,
if DFL is DFL in the actual field, like total over par, including cuts, or not.
No, I mean, if you
got to make the cut,
right?
DFL, well, above the cut, right?
Well, no, DFL is, you know, this Jesse Mueller, he was like the second worst performer when they made the cut, right? He would have been DFL, but Andrew Loop would not be denied and shot a 43 on the back nine on Friday. So he was DFL. Andrew Loop of LSU, his LSU compatriot Smiley gave it his best. It was only +8, so not DFL for Smiley either, but you know, maybe like 5 spots from it. I feel pretty good about my Jesse Mueller pick, and so that's an A. The Matsuyama pick withdrew, was playing pretty well, I think it was like 20th, so who knows what would have happened there. So I'm going an incomplete / A. You're getting a B. You picked John Rahm. Good week, T11. Your DFL pick, William McGirt, missed the cut by a shot. So, you know, solid grade for you, a B. Nothing to put on the refrigerator here, but, you know.
Well, I think, it's interesting. Again, we see John Rahm's temper come back, which this week it happened again. He was on the 13th hole. He made 3 bogeys in 5 holes from 12 to 16 and, like, lost his shit on 13. And that is something he needs to manage moving forward.
Define lost his shit, because I didn't see it.
I'd love to. Let me see if I can get the. Oh, the audio won't work here. Just slammed the shit out of his club. Like he tried to hit a flop shot, I think, and just caught too much ball and kind of launched it a little bit and just like tomahawked his club into the ground. And it's like, okay, any other player, it's not that big of a deal. We've seen this affect him in a negative way in the past, right? He's had temper issues in the past, like a young Sergio in some ways. And I know we've talked about the fact that these guys, they wear their hearts on their sleeves and they really play emotional golf. But I mean, Rahm has the ability to take his game to a peak level, right? To an elite level on the tour. He's shown that he has the game to win majors, to win, you know, anything on that schedule, but he's got to get this back under control. I think you look at his performance throughout the week and I think he ended up in a very good place. We'll see if that temper comes back later in the season. I think it will.
Now, was the flop shot like a normal flop shot, or did he do his like weird take a knee 4-iron thing?
No, it was like, I mean, it's a little Phil like. I mean, it seemed unnecessary. He was basically short sided in the second cut of rough. He had an entire, swale to chip into, to pitch into if he wanted to. He could play it a bunch of different ways. He tries to hit the highest risk, highest reward shot and doesn't execute and then gets pissed. So I don't know if he was between decisions there and is mad at himself for going with the harder one, but look, it's something you have to manage, and you know, we'll see if he does.
Cool. Let's move on to the Pebble. Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
It's one of my favorite events of the year.
It is. This is a good... Oh, we... I don't know if in the intro I said Tiger was playing. I feel like I did, and he's not. And when I was re-listening to last week's pod, I said, like, Rory missed the cut and Rory didn't play, so...
All right, we'll get the... It's
the worst
the
part
research
of
department.
Yeah, we need editing department to do more here, but... dude, that's the worst feeling, like, when we... At least for me.
When you catch a mistake.
Yeah, and I'm like,
you just
got to
own it.
Like,
you got to roll with it. Just pretend like it didn't even happen.
Well, right, but then we get chirped by idiots.
Listen,
with the initials.
It's part of the deal.
Matt
part of the deal.
D. all right.
You can't let the
saw him yesterday.
I saw that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he had some nice seats. Anyway. Stump Mike, February 5th. So Clint Eastwood, friend of the pod, Clint Eastwood, part of the ownership group that bought Pebble Beach in 1999. Stump Mike, how much did that ownership group pay to purchase Pebble Beach?
Ooh.
Within like $50 million.
I'm going to say they bought it for $200 million.
They bought it for $820 million. That was in 1999. So some context on that. The Red Sox were purchased in 2002 for $660 million. That's the Red Sox.
You know, I remember when that was happening, and it sounds ridiculous, but I think it basically saved the venue. It was going to be acquired, I think, by... I don't even know the details of it, but these guys all kind of got together and stepped up and said, let's raise the money, let's buy this place and make sure that it remains Pebble Beach. You know, it's a public facility as it always has been, but of the public facilities, it's the pinnacle, in my opinion. I mean, you have Pinehurst on the East Coast, in North Carolina, but you also have on the West Coast, Pebble Beach. And I think given even the history of Pinehurst, it's hard to compete with Monterey Peninsula. You have those three great courses out there. You have Spyglass, Pebble, and Cypress Point. Cypress probably gets the edge on just the sheer beauty of it, but Pebble Beach, it's hard to compare. It's hard to ignore the fact that it looks the way that it does, it produces the champions that it does, and it's hosted as many incredible events as it does. One of the reasons I love this event is that you get to see it again every year. You're not waiting for a U.S. Open. It's a fun atmosphere, but it also produces a lot of really, really good golf and a lot of fun memories over the years.
No, for
Tiger,
sure.
The hole out, like it's just cool. Bill Murray, his usual shenanigans, and I think we'll see Justin Timberlake.
We will.
He's making golf cool, man. He is.
He makes everything cool, man.
He does. He does.
This is the
he's not a bad player, by the way. I think he's a single.
He's like a two.
Yeah.
he's got a really great swing. It is a super cool event. I played Pebble on the simulator a couple weeks ago and shot like a 90, and I was like pretty thrilled. It's a freaking brutal course.
Oh yeah.
Jordan, it's par 72, 6,800 yards. It's actually kind of short, you know, but there's like that 90 yard par three. There's some kind of quirky little holes on there. Spieth's the defending champ. Top three in the world are in the field, DJ, Rahm, and Spieth. Other notables, Jason Day, Hall of Famer, Phil Mickelson, Rory, David Duval, Charlie Hoffman, Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar, Pat Perez makes his first start on the tour in quite some time. He was doing the Dubai nonsense, but now we got friend of the pod Pat back. Seamus, Patrick Reed, Vijay, Steve Stricker, and Gary Woodland. On the celebrity side, we got Wayne Gretzky, Huey Lewis, Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, Larry the Cable Guy, which I did not see that coming.
come on.
And Bill Murray. And then the Hardo Patrol, we got Billy Horschel, Bryson. J.B. Holmes has been moved into the Hardo Patrol after...
As he should be.
After his performance. And Steve Young, the celebrity Hardo. I'm out on Steve.
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
I just don't like him. He's...
I think he's
a total hardo. I just don't like him.
He's a stiff. Like, he's such the contrast between when he does the sideline stuff for the NFL, like, or not sideline, but the pregame stuff. It's just he looks like a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit. But I didn't know. Is he a good player?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. It is fun to see those guys.
I feel like when you're that gifted athletically, right, and then you come into a bunch of money and have all this free time, like, you practice it, and the competitive edge makes you good. So I feel like he's probably okay. I doubt he's as good as, you know, Gretzky or Romo, who I know are quite good. JT, you mentioned too, is very good. Bill Murray stinks, I think, but he's there for comic relief. I think the storylines here, at least the one that I'll be paying the most attention to, is Rory is back. We've seen, you know, Jason Day return and show that he's healthy and go out and get a W. You know, Tiger's, you know, health and return is obviously something that a lot of people are keeping an eye on. Rory, I think when Rory's probably the most gifted, talented player in the world, you know, tee to green, and he's looked the part over in the Middle East when he's been playing over there, and excited to see him back over here. We've mentioned the bet. I have a vested interest in Rory.
Quite the vested interest.
I think he's going to win this week. I think Rory's back, and I think he's the sort of guy that gets, you know, mad that people have kind of cast him aside and forgotten about him. I think we're going to see an excellent version of Rory this week. I'm picking him to win.
It's not a bad pick. I mean, he's played well. He's healthy again. People, you know, it's hard when you're not playing in America for that contrast to be seen as much, right? He's played overseas. He's played well. He's healthy again. But until you come back to the PGA Tour and you play against your peers there, it's really hard to see, you know, where you're going to stack up. I think this is an interesting week from a storyline perspective, especially for Rory. Next year, the U.S. Open is at Pebble Beach. So seeing these guys play, obviously it'll be set up differently, but it's a championship golf course. It always produces championship results. This is going to be a nice litmus test to see really how far Rory's game has come back and if he's going to be a contender this year in the majors.
That was my winning pick. My DFL is a guy named Richie Werenski. Richie is spelled with a Y. I've never heard of this guy. So I was looking over the field, and I feel like most people have, like if I haven't heard of you, it sticks out, like this Jesse Miller guy, and it's probably because you're not like a terribly successful pro. Richie is from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Is he really?
Yeah, so he's a PGA Tour professional from our state, and I've never heard of him. So not a good portend for him. He is ranked 291st in the world. I don't recognize any of his sponsors, which, again, another I think clear indicator of whether you're legit or not is who you're sponsored by. He's wearing a shirt that has a logo that says D and H. I have no idea what that is. And then it says like Galvin John on his shirt. Don't know who that is. So Richie, I'm sure that you and I are both, you know, sharing sadness over the Patriots outcome. That'll probably linger over his head too. I think he's going to come in DFL.
Not a bad pick. So my pick, in continuing to pick guys I've picked before, is Jason Day.
What? Oh, to win.
Win. Not for DFL. No. I just love the way Jason Day's driving the golf ball, the way he's playing this year. To do that, you do that at Pebble Beach, and it's a huge advantage, right? So it's similar in the way that Torrey Pines is. You got to hit a lot of different types of golf shots. You got to flight the golf ball. But driving accuracy, overall driving is huge in that it gives you a big advantage, especially this week when, you know, his length is even more important. The course is not set up like a U.S. Open. The penalties won't be as severe off the tee. I don't know. I love the way he's playing right now. So he's my number one pick.
There's some guys though who've won this tournament who don't exactly, you know, bang. Like Snedeker and Spieth have had success here. I think Snedeker is like the 72 old record. Like, I don't know. I feel like length isn't terribly important here. It's more about kind of precision and putting. I still like Day in that environment, but this is one of those courses where, you know, like DJ's advantage off the tee is more muted here, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, I guess we'll see. I just think it's hard the way he's hitting the golf ball to bet against the guy. But like I said, we'll see this week how he stacks up against the likes of Rory, or rather the other way around. I don't know. I think Rory's got to beat these guys. They're playing at a high level already this year. And yeah, I like Day. My my DFL, I feel bad picking it because I love this guy just from what I've learned about him. But Konrad Schindler. So Konrad Schindler he's 29 years old. He's from Arizona originally, from Phoenix. He went to Texas A&M. He's sort of a journeyman. He was on the Buy.com tour and recently on the PGA tour. You look at this guy and he's just like he is America, right? This guy's got, he's got the gut. He's got the look. The baggy pants, the whole deal. He's a diehard Dallas Stars hockey fan. I don't know. He's just the type of guy that would seem like a lot of fun to go play 18 holes with. But he hasn't played particularly well. He's 380th in the world, something like that. But he's in this event this week. He's my DFL.
I don't hate it. I'm gonna do a little bonus DFL here for the celebrity who I think is gonna DFL. Carson Daly is, I guess, still a celebrity. No word if he still wears armbands on his forearm, but was surprised to see him in the celebrity field list and just kind of have a feeling that he sucks at golf and he'll DFL.
Who do you think is going to be the low celebrity?
I'm pretty sure Wayne Gretzky is like awesome.
There's a lot of good players though. So is Tony Romo playing?
He's playing. He's good.
He's good. Aaron Rodgers is a 4 handicap. He can play.
Okay. Verlander's playing. He's pretty good.
The guy I'm most excited to see play is Larry Fitzgerald. He's like a 10 or 12 handicap, but he might be like the nice. He might be one of my favorite NFL players. Just like seems like an all around great dude, but seems like he just absolutely loves the game. Like one of these guys that was a great athlete, right? Maybe found the game a little later in life and just was like, this is the tits, man. I love this. Goes out there and just, he's a golfer, man. He's in.
He's like, you know, he's like boys with John McCain.
What? Like
the weirdest friendship. Yeah, he wrote this like very long, like.
Wrapping his Arizona roots, right?
I guess. Yeah, he like penned this like long story about how like, you know, how he's gotten to know John McCain, the man, and just talked about his military service and just, it's just like a weird. I don't think it's like a hot take to be in awe of John McCain's military service, but I was surprised that they're like boys, like they hang out. Just so strange. How do you think the other name that kind of hopped off this list here, Brett Baier?
You think Brett Baier can play? He can play. He's he's a big golfer. He's a Yeah, no, I know for a fact that he can play. For a celebrity who makes millions of dollars and it's not his primary job, but yeah, he's a club player. But it'll be interesting to see him play. He's
I'm just surprised the size and weight of his head doesn't throw off his swing path.
He is he's one of a kind.
Looks like a Lego. Like, he's got this like his weird head symmetry round is head.
Yeah, it's, listen, you know, it's the full package for the cable news set, you know. Some people just can't make it happen and yeah,
that's Wolf. He's
Prepper's Fox, that's right.
Special Report, I think.
That's right, Special Report. Right, oh yeah, Brett. Looking up. So Brett, he was captain of his college golf team at DePaul, I think. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. 5 handicap. Hell yeah, Brett Baier. Shout out to Brett Baier.
Who knew? Is he a friend of the pod now?
He's a friend of the pod.
All right, friend of the pod, Brett. All right. Well, we don't have a fun game today because I didn't have time to think of one.
It's a short week given the Super Bowl.
We had some fun with the celebs. I liked it.
It's good. It's good. I'm excited for this week. It's a great segue like back into serious golf. Now that the Super Bowl is over, next biggest sporting event coming up is March Madness. You have this, you know, this month stretch here to kind of fill up. So it'll be good to focus on golf again and just get amped up for the Masters. I love seeing those commercials on TV now. It's like really starting to feel like the days are getting a little longer, right? It's just feeling. I heard birds in the trees today. You know, it's coming. Spring is the way.
That's an awfully rosy outlook for the Monday after the Patriots get their heart ripped out.
It's the pod day, man. I was fired up for golf.
I don't think I heard anything. I just kind of operated with white noise in my brain. I got like an hour of work done. Yeah. But you're right. You're right. We got a lot of golf. This is kind of like a dark period in sports. Anyway,
it is. It's like it is.
Yeah. You got like hockey and basketball and then, you know, people looking forward to spring training, and the Masters is, you know, 2 months away, but you're right. This run up the next 4 or 5 weeks, it's a lot of good golf and, you know, alternate shots here to help grow the game and get more eyeballs. Yeah. So this is where patron saint Dottie comes in, because she's in our living rooms.
Telling
us what's up in the hottest ticket in town right now.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, we got the Pebble Beach Pro-Am coming up this week. Really fun event to watch. We'll have a bunch of celebrities going for the low guy and the DFL along with their professional partners. It should be a good week.
Super fun event. This is one I definitely tune into. No questions asked. And we'll be back next Monday to recap it for everybody.
That's right. Congratulations.
In person, in the studio. No more FaceTime.
Absolutely. But it's good to know that we got this working, because it'll be...
Glad we made this work, but we'll try not to make this a habit or a crutch. Well, I don't want it to be like, you know, it's cold out, I'll just like call you.
Can't use it as a crutch. Anyway, yeah. All right. So, congratulations are in order for the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Welcome to the club.
Oh, I said the biggest dickhead thing. I wasn't even trying. So I was being like supportive. Like there were a lot of Eagles like people around me, including the two people I was at the game with. So I was like taking like pictures for them and like just trying to be cool about it. On the way out, you know, people are high-fiving everybody, and I kind of like gave one to one dude, and he's like, oh, you know, sorry, man, it was a great game. And I wasn't even trying to be a dick, but I just said, yeah, we got plenty. And he just looked at me like, F you, dude. Like, yeah. I didn't mean it that way, but as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be back next year, so it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
For the Alternate Shot Podcast, I am Mike.
I'm Matt.
And we will see you guys
next week.